Late Saturday night, Congress passed a stopgap funding bill to temporarily avoid a government shutdown. The legislation will fund the federal government for 45 more days, setting a new deadline of November 17th. After signing the bill, President Biden praised Congress for getting a deal done, but criticized Republicans for using the threat of a shutdown to negotiate for priorities that he thought were settled in the deal to raise the debt ceiling.
A few months ago, after a long negotiation between myself and the Republican Speaker of the House of Representatives, we came to agree on a budget agreement precisely to avoid a manufactured crisis that we just witnessed. But the last few days and weeks, extreme MAGA Republicans tried to walk away from that deal, voting for deep, drastic spending cuts from 30 to 80% that would have been devastating for millions of Americans. They failed again. They failed again, and we stopped them. But I'm under no illusions that they'll be back again.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy finds himself in a difficult position as he tries to balance the demands of the most conservative Republicans in his caucus while trying to find compromise with Democrats. We're learning more about how the last-minute deal came together, where government funding negotiations go from here. Henrik Schatzinger is professor of political science, chair of the political science department, and director for the Center for Politics and the People at Ripon College. Henrik, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
When we first called you, Henrik, it was to either talk about this newly started government shutdown or talk about how we just avoided that shutdown. Well, it was plan B there. It turned out. Why do we keep coming so close? Why is there this brinksmanship when it comes to some of the basics of government funding?
Yeah, I think there are two answers to your question. One is more short-term focused. The other one looks at it at the long-term picture. So from a short-term perspective, obviously, you know, right now we have divided government, which means Democrats control one chamber of Congress, Republicans the other chamber. Naturally, that normally means that we have some degree of compromise to move things forward. But in this case, we have some hardliners on the Republican side who are not really willing to make concessions. And so even just before that bill was passed and on a bipartisan basis, Speaker McCarthy tried to secure the short-term funding bill within his own caucus. And there were more than 20 defections. So he had no choice. He had to reach out to the Democrats and at least make a short-term deal. Now, on the other hand, in terms of long-term, you know, long-term sort of perspective, I think what you could look at is that both parties have been moving in different directions for a long time. I think we can go back basically to Barry Goldwater in 1964. So it's been a decades-long process. And at the same time, we have also more voters who live more amongst themselves. So the self-sorting of voters, you have gerrymandering. And you put all of this together, this is where you end up with.
Looking at this 45-day stopgap spending bill, does anything stand out to you in terms of what was included, what changes were suggested by some of the more conservative members of the House and then rejected? Are there highlights in this, month-and-a-half-long spending bill?
Yeah, so I think what's most important to understand is that funding for programs will simply continue at their existing levels for most programs, if not all. In addition, however, there were some interesting components here that we could mention, right? So the one conversation was about disaster relief funds. So what's in this bill is that $16 billion have been set aside for future natural disaster reliefs. And then what's also, of course, interesting is that the bill does not appropriate any additional funds for Ukraine. I think going forward, this will be certainly a point of discussion and further contention. And of the other aspect of it is border security. Democrats have argued, hey, look, we already raised funds for the border security by 17% at the beginning of this fiscal year. And so they said, we don't need additional, which is about $7.1 billion total right now. And so they said we don't need additional funding. Republicans do want more funding, and so this is another issue of contention going forward. And lastly, there are no domestic spending cuts that the hardliners want. So the hardliners said, we want $58 billion in domestic spending cuts. $14.7 billion of those would be in education grants, primarily going to lower income areas and their schools. So those are off the table for now, but certainly the issue hasn't gone away and will come up again.
You mentioned the Ukraine funding. That was a sticking point in this bill. I think if I have things right, there would be, if you just put, hey, should we keep funding Ukrainian resistance to the Russian invasion? I think a majority of both chambers of commerce have spoken favorably of it, but it was a sticking point in this particular bill. Do you expect more talk either for a separate bill to help Ukraine or whatever comes out in 45 days? We're going to be here again arguing over this.
Yeah, I think it really depends also on how the vote to vacate that Matt Gaetz from Florida has threatened to put on the floor, how this is going to go. So I think there are so many sort of moving parts at this point, whether the speaker can stay in his position or whether he will be ousted. I think there's lots of pressure right now, of course, on those members to keep him where he is. But going forward, if it turns out the Republicans need Democrats to really possibly keep him in office, they want concessions. And I think the biggest concession here is to really guarantee future funding for Ukraine. Democrats have already said they want at least $6 billion. If they want the concession, they may even ask for more than those $6 billion.
Talking to Henrik Schatzinger, professor of political science at Ripon College, about the last-minute deal reached in Congress to avoid a government shutdown for at least another 45 days. Let's give a listen now about one of those moving parts you just mentioned, Henrik. Here's House Speaker Kevin McCarthy facing heat from conservative members of his party. At least one Republican Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida said, yeah, he's going to force a vote to try to oust McCarthy as House Speaker. Here's Speaker McCarthy in an interview with CBS yesterday.
You know, this is personal with Matt. Matt voted against the most conservative ability to protect our border, secure our border. He's more interested in securing TV interviews than doing something. He wanted to push us into a shutdown, even threatening his own district with all the military people there who would not be paid, only because he wants to take this motion. So be it. Bring it on. Let's get over with it, and let's start governing. If he's upset because he tried to push us in a shutdown, and I made sure government didn't shut down, then let's have that fight.
Again, two people in the same party in the same Chamber of Commerce there. Henrik, is it unusual to see this level of public finger-pointing between a House Speaker and a member of, in this case, his own caucus?
I would say, even though we live in this era of polarization, and certainly, you know, this degree of infighting that we see on a public sphere, this is really unusual. And it seems to me that if you, as a member of the House, really push it to this level, there is more than just your intention to engage in spending cuts. It seems to me that there is a desire to seek the cameras and also be in the public spotlight and to make a name for yourself. It is unusual, and I think it shows a little bit about people's personality and how they deal with this issue right now.
And Henrik, this is partly a numbers game. Coming out of 2022, well, coming into 2022, Republicans, I think, expected to have a very substantial majority in the House. They came out with an incredibly narrow majority in the House. In some ways, has that empowered the more conservative wing, people like Representative Gaetz, to throw their weight around because the majority doesn't have a very big majority? They can't afford to lose many votes.
Yeah, exactly. I was commentating on election night that, you know, that red wave that people were talking about did not really materialize. And so when you end up with a tiny majority, the speaker can only lose four members of his own caucus when it comes to votes, and that really elevates their importance, right? To keep them sort of under wraps. In this case, they really maximize their own power. But unfortunately, I think obviously at the expense of not only their own party or Congress, but also at the expense of the nation.
We have this stopgap funding in place, passed and signed in short order over the weekend for 45 days. What are you watching for between now and then?
Yeah, the big battle is still internally, whether Speaker McCarthy can really survive this, you know, politically speaking. Can he stay in office? To me, it's not clear that he can, to be honest. It seems that, you know, a couple of other members of the House have already indicated that they may vote against McCarthy as a speaker. So in that case, I think that opens up the door for more negotiations, possibly with Democrats. And we just already touched on this issue of concessions. This will not come for free. If Democrats were somehow in some shape or form, you know, keep McCarthy in office, they would want something in return. So I think, to be honest, overall, the situation quite now is pretty open-ended and very fluid. So it's hard to really predict how this is going to unfold. The one thing that Republicans also know is that there's nobody on their side who would gain more votes if it comes to, you know, a new speakership than the existing speaker. So there's no true alternative, which makes the situation even more strange and complex.
Lot to watch for. Henrik, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Henrik Schatzinger is a professor of political science, chair of the political science department, and director for the Center for Politics and the People at Ripon College. He's with us today to look at the stopgap funding bill passed by Congress over the weekend to avert a government shutdown for now.